Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. We'll be talking about that passage here in just a moment. I would like to say a few things about the class that we started this past Wednesday night on building strong homes. First of all, I appreciate the very good attendance at the class on Wednesday. And I also appreciate the eagerness that many have shown for the class. I could just tell in the days leading up to the class and then also on Wednesday night itself that there was great anticipation, people looking forward to it and really wanting to learn and all of us wanting to get better. And I just appreciate the spirit that was so evident in regard to that class. I also want to point out, as far as the bulletin today, out there on the table, it's very simple. What I did was I went through the book of Proverbs and gathered together as many passages as I could find that relate specifically to the responsibilities of parents and of children. You may recall on Wednesday night I told you that there were a lot of passages in Proverbs that dealt with that subject. Well, they're all gathered together. They're in one place in that bulletin. So I'd like each family to take at least one bulletin home with you. And I want you to include that in your reading. Now, this week, of course, you need to be getting ready for lesson two. You need to read that, discuss that as a family. But I'd also like for you to include in your reading all of those passages from Proverbs. So take that bulletin home with you and read them and discuss them. I also want to forewarn you, I don't in any way want to run anything into the ground, but don't be surprised if sprinkled in the next few months there are some lessons on the home, just to kind of supplement what we're doing on the class. In fact, that is the case today, here with 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. The next lesson I'm supposed to teach is lesson 4, which talks about husbands. And this is one of the passages addressed in that lesson, and we're going to go ahead today and get a little bit of a head start talking about those things. Now, obviously, this lesson is addressed specifically to husbands, those who are presently husbands. But I want all of you young men to also listen very intently, because this will help prepare you to be the kind of husband that you ought to be. You're going to kind of get a head start on this thing. You'll be better prepared for marriage one day if you go ahead and learn some of these things right now. Also, you young ladies, I hope that looking at the lesson today will just further help shape in your mind the kind of man that you're looking for. I don't think I have to tell you how critical that decision is going to be, the man you choose to marry. And by looking at some of these principles tonight, again, I hope that just helps, you know, sort of settle in your mind just some further characteristics that you're looking for. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That's the passage that we're going to break down in the lesson today. Now, if you're taking notes, I'll go ahead and give you the outline of the lesson. And the outline really is the passage itself. There will be six major points in the lesson today. The first one is that word likewise. We're going to talk about the significance of that word in the passage. The second point is the phrase, dwell with them with understanding. We'll discuss what that involves. Number three will be the phrase, giving honor to the wife. What does it mean to give honor to your wife? Number four, we'll discuss this analogy here where it talks about the weaker vessel. As to the weaker vessel. That's number four. Number five, we'll discuss the very next phrase. as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then the final point will concern the last phrase, that your prayers may not be hindered. And so you can see we're kind of going word or phrase by phrase. Those are the points in the outline today. Alright. Husbands, likewise. Let's talk about the significance of likewise in that passage. Well, when you see that there in verse 7, what that should tell us is there must be something said to the husbands that is like something that's been said before. Right? Now, going back even as far as chapter 2 and verse 13, what is the main theme of this entire section? It's not really hard to tell at all. The main theme throughout this entire section is submission. Submission. Let's look at some passages to see that that is indeed the case. Chapter 2 and verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So, submit to the authorities. Verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Wives, likewise. See that? Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And then there in chapter 3 and verse 7, husbands likewise. And really, if you look at the next two verses after verse 7, isn't the subject really still submission? Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Couldn't we sum up, especially the admonitions in verse 8, by saying submit to one another? That's really the point that he's making. So, if he's been talking about submission throughout, and if in chapter 3 and verse 1, the wives likewise points back to the submission of the servants to their masters, wouldn't the likewise connected with the husbands also be in reference to submission? I believe that's exactly the point. You say, now wait a minute. Husbands aren't submissive to wives. You've got it all backwards. Wives are submissive to husbands. Well, obviously there is a sense in which husbands are supposed to be submissive to their wives. And I believe the rest of the passage, as we break down some of these other phrases, I believe those phrases will explain the manner in which the husband is supposed to be submissive to the wife. Alright, let's go on to the next phrase there. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with your wives with understanding. The King James Version says, according to knowledge. Now, the obvious question that we might raise after reading that is, an understanding of what? And I'm not sure the passage spells it out specifically unless the rest of the phrases explain it. Maybe it's the points that he makes in the rest of the passage that we should understand. But it's not really explained in any great detail here, and so let's make sure we cover as many bases for this as we possibly can. First of all, when he says dwell with them with understanding, there must first of all be an understanding of Christ. Any husband who's going to dwell with his wife with understanding needs to first have an understanding of Christ. And you know why? Because as husbands, we are exhorted to love our wives we can't love our wives as Christ loves the church if we don't understand Him. If we don't know about Him, and especially if we don't know about the different ways that He shows His love for the church, then we have no clue. And so it's important for us to have as thorough an understanding of Christ as we possibly can. But then also, as husbands, we should have an understanding of the marriage relationship. I left father and mother to cleave unto my wife. That's the way it was set up in the very beginning. We talked about that some this past Wednesday night. I made a covenant with her, with God as my witness. Now, there were some other people there, but the most important person that was there was God. I made a covenant with her. We made a covenant together with God as our witness. We were joined together by God. And so we are now bound to each other. The idea of bound to each other is tied in a knot. We sometimes speak of marriage as tying the knot. Well, God ties the knot. It's a knot that is tied till death do us part. And so, just the very basics of the marriage relationship, the principles upon which it was established, what actually happened when we got married, and the role that God played in that. I need to understand all of that if I'm to be the kind of husband that I'm supposed to be. So, not only should I need an understanding of Christ and an understanding of the marriage relationship, I also need an understanding of my particular duties as a husband. Now, we won't have time to cover them all today, obviously, but let's look at a few passages. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning with verse 3. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of responsibility. So that's one responsibility that's covered there. Look also in Ephesians chapter 5. We referred to a portion of this just a moment ago. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. Look down to verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And then in Colossians, just a couple of books over, in Colossians 3 and verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Now, is this a complete list of all of the passages? No. But we did want to go to at least a few and give you a sampling of the particular duties that a husband has. And obviously, if I'm going to dwell with my wife with understanding, I need to understand those particular duties. Okay, so I've got an understanding of Christ. I've got an understanding of the marriage relationship itself. I've got an understanding of my particular duties as a husband, but there's something else I need to understand. I need to understand her. I need to understand her. That's really important, isn't it? Sometimes you hear men say, and I'm sure I've said something to this effect before, I don't understand women. They just confuse me. It's hard for me to tell what they want, and they're so emotional, and sometimes they just cry for no reason, and we go on and on about all of these things that just frustrate us to no end about women, and about our wives in particular. Well, I believe we need to learn to celebrate the differences in the husband and the wife, in men and women. And the reason I say we need to celebrate the differences is, remember when God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, He made a helper suitable to him, comparable to him. He made someone that was just right for him. The perfect complement. And so, there are reasons why she is different. We need those differences. Now, I'm not talking about character flaws here. I'm not talking about sins. I'm talking about just the differences. God made her that way. Designed to be a perfect complement to us. I think if we all just sat down and thought about it for very long, we would understand the balance that these ladies have brought to our lives. Okay? The balance that they bring to their lives because of their differences, because of the things that are unique to them. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 9 says that man was not created for the woman, but woman for the man. God says, here's something that will go along with you and be just right for you. And so, we dare not question the wisdom of God on this. And I'm afraid that sometimes when we talk about all these differences in women and we get frustrated by these things, we may be reflecting somewhat on His great wisdom. Now, included in our understanding of her, that is, of our wife, is an understanding of her particular needs. And those needs are going to come in a variety of categories. Now, the most important one would be spiritual. If you read that entire Ephesians chapter 5 passage, it talks about the reason that Christ loved the church is that He might purify her, sanctify her, cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. I don't believe we talk about that aspect enough. His love toward the church was toward an end of purifying her, of making her all that she ought to be. And so a husband, the best thing that he can do for his wife is to help her to become spiritually all that she needs to be. That is number one, without question. That's the big priority. But she also has physical needs. And those are addressed somewhat in 1 Corinthians 7. But we're talking about more than just sexual needs. We're talking about just physical, material needs in general. She has emotional needs. She has social needs. Sometimes as men, we could sit around and not do anything and sometimes we kind of like to be by ourselves, and sometimes we may be the kind of person that doesn't need to be around anybody else, and maybe we forget that our wife does like some of those things. But because I don't like to, then she shouldn't be doing it either. And her needs are going to be somewhat different. And something else we need to understand is that what our wives need most cannot be provided by their mother and father, cannot be provided by their friends, cannot be provided by their fellow Christians, cannot be provided by their fellow workers. What she needs most is provided by the husband. And of course, God is ultimately working through the husband on behalf of the wife. So, I need to have an understanding of Christ. I need to have an understanding of the marriage relationship. I need to have an understanding of my particular duties as a husband. And I need to have an understanding of her and of her individual needs. All right, let's go on to the next phrase. Giving honor to the wife. Giving honor to the wife. The idea of honoring someone is valuing them, esteeming them. And one of the things that would be sort of the opposite of that would be putting her down. You ever do that? You ever find yourself sort of being a little bit hypercritical? It's almost like it's your job to put her down and to keep her in her place. That's not exactly valuing her and esteeming her. One of the interesting things about this word honor here is a different form of the same word is used in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. It's used in reference there to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. To the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So a different form of the same word is used there, and there it's translated precious. Now you know what it means to treat something as precious. You know what that word means. We don't need to give a dictionary definition of that, do we? In other words, my wife has to be precious to me. And you know the best way to show that? It's not by saying, you sure are precious to me. I really do value you, honey. You're wonderful. The best way to honor her, of course, is by the decisions we make, by the actions we take, and by the words we speak. Proverbs chapter 31. Obviously, if you recall, it's talking about the virtuous woman, but we're not going to concentrate on the woman right here. We want to look at the regard that her husband had for her. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm and deceitful as beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a wonderful thing to have a good wife. And certainly the husband should do everything in his power to make her feel special. In fact, we read earlier from Ephesians 5 where the husband was to nourish and cherish the wife. The word cherish, its root meaning has the idea of to be warmed. In other words, you make her feel all warm inside. That's the idea, really. When you cherish something, you hold that dear. And when you're talking about cherishing a person, you treat them in that way and it will make them feel all warm inside. Giving honor to the wife. Now, he goes on and adds to that, and this is point number 5. He says, give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Boy, that's been discussed a lot, hasn't it? Women are weaker than men. What does that mean? As to the weaker vessel. Well, I think sometimes we put the emphasis on the fact that he's saying, all right, women are weaker. And we'll talk about in just a moment some ways that they are weaker or more delicate. But I believe really the point that he's making here is you need to honor her or treat her just as you would a weaker vessel. Think about a very delicate plate, some of the china that you have at home. If I went into your homes, I doubt that I would find any of you tossing the china around, playing pitch with the china. Right? It's delicate. It can break. Now plastic is stronger, but you can throw it around and bounce it on the floor. You can take your Tupperware and do anything you want to it, and it'll still be in good shape. You're not going to toss your china around. You may have some real delicate vase or something like that. You know, you may have it up on the mantle and you may have warned the kids about playing with it. Again, I doubt you're going, if you go to somebody's house and the kids are chunking that expensive vase around, you're going to be a little upset, right? So that sort of strengthens the point that he's making about giving honor to the wife. Just as you would treat this weaker vessel, this fragile thing here, you need to treat her. You ever seen on the sides of these boxes sometimes, fragile? And what's the rest of it? Handle with care. Fragile, handle with care. That's the idea. In many ways, she is fragile. And she does need to be handled with care. Now, I will admit that the analogy of handling her just like you would a weaker vessel, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless there is some sense in which she is weaker. And I believe she is. She is weaker physically. In just about every case, when you look at the husband and wife, who's going to be the weaker one physically? Obviously the wife is. And so, there are certain chores that ought not to be put on them. A man ought to be able to handle a bigger burden physically. Have you seen times when I've seen relationships where that wasn't necessarily the case? Sometimes women, you know, it's like, they got a pretty big job. They got some of them big, thick shoulders because of the burden their husbands have put them on. But you know, whatever people may take from this designation of women as a weaker vessel, the last thing we want to get out of that point is that in some way that demeans or diminishes her. And the reason we can say that is because it's given as a reason to honor her. Honor, give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. So there's no way that demeans her. It's a reason for honor. But you know, another way in which she is weaker, or at least more delicate, that may be the better term to use. She's more delicate emotionally. Isn't that rather obvious? She is more delicate emotionally. And so she needs strength and stability from her husband. And I would tell all of you young ladies here the same thing that my mama told my younger sister. This maybe not was her exact wording, but she said, don't marry a wimp. Don't marry a wimp. Marry someone who's strong, who's got some courage, who's got some conviction, someone who will stand. Now, yes, you want them to be tenderhearted. And yes, you want them to be compassionate and sensitive and all of those things. But there are some men out there who, they're tenderhearted and they're compassionate. There's not a whole lot of strength there. There's not a whole lot of conviction. They don't stand for much at all. That is not what you're looking for. And young men, that's not the kind of husband you want to be. You want to be well-rounded. You want all of those qualities. But she needs strength from you. She needs to be nourished and cherished, as we read about in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at the next phrase. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. Who is the head of the house? The husband is. Nothing could be clearer from the scriptures than that. The husband is the head of the wife, but he is not a head. Right? He's the head, but he's not a head, spiritually speaking. They are heirs together of the grace of life. In fact, look at Galatians 3 and verse 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now God made man and woman differently. They are different. They have different roles, but spiritually speaking, they are equal. They're on the same plane in God's eyes. There's not one that God regards in some preferential way over the other. And then finally, he says that your prayers may not be hindered. Hindered is from a word in the Greek that literally means to cut in, to interrupt. You ever been watching an important ball game and the cable signal got interrupted? Man, nothing more serious than that, right? really the idea here is, and this really adds a lot of soberness to this whole discussion. Husbands, if you're not doing this, your prayer to heaven is going to be short-circuited. It's going to be cut off. It's going to be interrupted. It's not going to make it past the roof of your house. That's how important it is. That your prayers may not be hindered. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 23 and 24, and what you want to do here is just substitute spouse in the place of brother. Well, let's just, since we're talking to husbands, let's just put wife in there in particular. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your wife has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your wife. Then come and offer your gift. We're not going to be perfect in this. We're not going to always give the honor that we should. We're not going to always handle with care like we're supposed to. We're not going to always act on the understanding that we're supposed to have that we talked about earlier. But here's the key. When we do, we need to tell them that we're sorry and that we intend to do better. And we need to ask God to forgive us. If we can maintain that kind of attitude while we're continuing to diligently work on getting better and better every day, then our prayers will not be hindered. We can still continue to pray with confidence. So, that's the breakdown of this passage, and we'll talk some more about this as we go through. One of the reasons that I wanted to go ahead and address this passage today. It's one of the key passages in Lesson 4 that's coming up later. But I wanted to get some of this out of the way because when we get to Lesson 4, I want us to get very specific. Now here's what 1 Peter 3, 7 says, and here are the principles, but this is what it means in everyday life. And when we talk about Ephesians 5, and that's the other key passage in that lesson, we're going to say, all right, here's what it said, and here are the principles, but here's what it means in everyday life. In other words, the focus of that lesson is going to be getting as specific as we possibly can. Here's what it means on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so on. Here's what it means when this situation comes up. Here's what it means when she says this. Here's what it means when he does that. We want to get as specific as we possibly can. Thank you for your good attention. Go ahead and get out your songbooks. We may have someone here this morning who is ready to make that most important decision that they'll ever make. And that is to become a child of God. You may have come to the understanding that you are in sin, that you've done some things that are wrong. And you understand the situation that that puts you in before God. You understand your accountability before God. And you understand that the only one who can wipe those sins away is Jesus Christ. And you understand the steps that you need to take for Him to wipe your sins away. Believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, and being buried with Him in baptism. If you're ready to take those steps today, ready to have all of your sins forgiven, your slate completely wiped clean, we would urge you to come now as we stand and sing.